If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at WorldviewWeekendFoundation.com. That's WorldviewWeekendFoundation.com. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, BCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome, glad you're with us. John Whitcomb, Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today. And we're going to answer your questions that you've emailed into us. So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll give you an email address where you can send your questions on. And about every 2 weeks, Dr. Whitcomb joins us. Before we get to Dr. Whitcomb, here is an email I want to read to you because I have received so many like this. And this email really will have to stand for the rest of them because I'm not reading all of them. But I've received so many emails from people just like this. Thank you for standing your stand concerning the Harbinger and other neo-Gnostic teaching spreading amongst the church today. I'm a new Christian. I'm a new Christian coming out after years in NAR apostasy. That's the New Apostolic Reformation, folks. Look, this person's saying, I wasn't a believer. I was in the New Apostolic Reformation as an unbeliever. What have I been telling you? A lot of these folks in the NAR, I believe they are not believers. They are unbelievers because many of them don't even have the right Jesus. They redefine Jesus. You redefine Jesus, you redefine the gospel. So she says, I'm a new Christian coming out after years in NAR apostasy. And perhaps because of that background, was immediately suspicious of the Harbinger. It reminded me straight off of Rick Joyner's work, such as Two Trees in the Garden. Straight NAR deception and very dangerous. Well, again, I could share with you many emails of many people who have emailed me over the last few months saying they had come out of Word of Faith, New Apostolic Reformation, or New Age background, Gnostic background, where they sought to uncover mysteries and have hidden knowledge and are saying exactly what this dear person is saying right here. So I wanted to encourage you with that because it is very important that we let you understand why we find this to be so important to continue to discuss as we did yesterday. Well, as I said, Dr. John Whitcomb joins me today for Ask Dr. John, and many of you have sent in questions, and so we're going to get right to it. Dr. John, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's a joy to have us here today again. God bless you.
Well, thank you, and same to you. Okay, number one question. The first question from one of our listeners is, can you shed some light on the exchange between Jesus and Peter in John 21:15 through 17? I'm asking about the wordplay revolving around the word love used in these verses. Perhaps we should read these verses first, should we, Dr. Whitcomb?
So, when they had finished breakfast, imagine this, after his resurrection, Jesus prepared a special breakfast for the apostles there by the Sea of Galilee. And that was an opportunity he gave all the apostles to see that he had reestablished, reconfirmed Peter to be the chief of the apostles in spite of the fact that Peter had done what? Denied him three times. Now listen to what he said to Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you really love me more than these other disciples? You remember back in Matthew 26:33, he said, even if all of them abandon you, I will not. Very arrogant, self-sufficient, and he was shocked, I'm sure, to see what he did to Jesus, denying him. So he's so lovingly confronted. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend my lambs. Second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. Now listen to this. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? A slightly different Greek verb, slightly less powerful, I should think, than the first two, agapao, and here is phileo. In other words, let's come down to your level. Peter, you have said in response to my questions that you phileo me. You have a love for me, yes, a tender relationship, emotionally, but do you deeply, profoundly love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him, the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, tend my sheep. Now you see, friends, what an amazing, gracious confrontation in the presence of all the apostles Jesus had with Peter. Peter, I want you to publicly confess your relationship to me before these men. And I say, Lord, the day will come when you do that to me too. We'll see him at the judgment throne of Christ, not to determine our salvation, but to determine our position, our relationship, our privileges, perhaps a crown of glory. And I say, Lord, do I really love you deeply and firmly in spite of temptation around me? What a question Jesus would have for each one of us, dear friends, like he did for Peter.
Number two, what does Luke 10:17-22 mean? Don't all Christians have authority over demons since this was the 70, not just the 12 apostles?
Yes. Now, Luke records this amazing event. When those 70 returned with joy to Jesus, you remember he had sent them out announcing to all the nation, repent, for the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is at hand. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the... Now listen to this one. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Now, the person who asked the question says, don't we all have authority? Well, yes, in one way. James 4:7, humble yourselves beneath the mighty hand of God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're not helpless victims, are we, of Satan's manipulations and temptations? 1 Peter 5 says a similar thing. You have authority to some extent, now careful here, over Satan, but not miraculously. That's the difference. You see what what Jesus said to those 70? He said, nothing shall injure you. In other words, you are specially supernaturally protected from destruction. Nothing can hurt you. Why? You are specially appointed, protected, and commissioned to make this last great appeal to the nation before I die, that they are to repent and in order to have the kingdom. And I say, let's be careful, friends. You remember, end of the Gospel of Mark, special provision for protection for those who are sent forth by God in that transition period of miracle working. They could drink poisons, not be hurt, and deadly snakes, not be hurt. And I say, Lord, that does not apply to me. And so-called faith healers, you know, miracle workers today, carefully avoid those statements at the end of Mark. They don't go around drinking poison or the whole movement would end. And I say, Lord, help me to be careful here how I apply this unique situation to those 70, and it doesn't apply in the same exact way to me or any Christian today.
Excellent. Dr. John Whitcomb is my guest. His website is whitcombministries.org, whitcombministries.org. You also find him on sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb, sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb, and you'll find him on Facebook. By the way, before we get to the third question, I can see right out of my window here, and you know what's going on outside my window right now? There's a semi-truck there, and they're unloading 9 pallets of religious Trojan horse. So 9 pallets of religious Trojan horse being unloaded, and I will spend the better part of the rest of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday signing books to all of you that have pre-ordered them, and thank you for pre-ordering them. That is a real blessing to us because it allows us to know how many we should print for the first press run, and so it's a big, big help to us. Thank you so much for pre-ordering it. So I will spend the rest of the day Tuesday here and Wednesday and Thursday signing these books, packing them up with my wife, and hopefully a couple of folks will come in and help. I've got to put my children to work for sure. And we'll get those out in the mail to you this week. So we're very excited for literally just hundreds and hundreds of copies going in the mail. I've lost count. It's so many. But it's a huge quantity, and we're very thankful. Thank you so much for your pre-orders of Religious Trojan Horse. It is 488 pages, hardcover. A glossy dust cover. If you take the glossy dust cover off, it's got a beautiful blue hardcover texture to it with the spine in silver embossing type printing. It's just beautiful. I hope you'll really appreciate it. Add it to your family library. This is a theological book in many essence, in many ways. Theological questions are answered that 20 years from now will still be relevant. So again, if you've been waiting for it to come out, didn't want to place a pre-order but waiting for it to come out, well, that's today. You can go ahead and place your order at worldviewweekend.com, and I gladly would sign a copy for you or your friends or pastor, associate pastor, whoever you want to give them to. And again, you'll find full details at worldviewweekend.com. All right, Dr. DeYoung, thank you for letting me say that, because I know folks have been anxiously waiting. All right, number three, Jimmy DeYoung teaches that Christ builds his own temple and that the earthly temple is destroyed. Dr. Whitcomb, as I heard it, said that the earthly temple is cleansed by Jesus to be used in the millennial kingdom. Which one is correct? Could you clarify?
That's a hard one. Jimmy DeYoung is an outstanding Bible prophecy scholar, and I'm not exactly sure, of course, what he meant by what he said. I need to hear that statement spelled out. But here is my approach. When the tribulation temple is established, that's the third one, which will be reinstituted by whom? Elijah and Moses. You remember Revelation 11? They will start the worship services, sacrificial services, on the altar, on the temple, at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. That's, of course, predicted over and over again in the Bible. You know how Jesus talked about the abomination of desolations in the holy place during the tribulation. Now, friends, when the 70th week ends, horrible things will have happened in that temple. The abomination of desolation, poisoning it and polluting it, corrupting it. One of the first things the Lord Jesus does when he comes back at his second coming is to cleanse that temple. You say, where does it say that? The last chapter of Daniel, 30 days after the second coming, until the 1290th day, there will be a 30-day period there to do something about that abomination of desolations in that temple. What? To prepare a worship center for the whole world for 1,000 years. Now, of course, we know from Ezekiel 40-48 that by the time Jesus finishes purging and cleansing it, he will also have enlarged it for the whole world to accommodate the whole human race, which will end up with billions of people. So the temple, that third one, will be expanded into central Palestine. And I say, now, Lord, is it the same temple? Well, you see, the second temple had a similar experience, didn't it? You remember that? It was very small to start with, back there after the Babylonian captivity with Zerubbabel and Joshua. But Herod the Great, godless man, expanded it greatly just at the time Jesus was born, you remember. It was enormously enlarged, and it was the same temple. You say, well, if it was enlarged, it was a different one. No, Jesus said, this is my Father's house. And it was the same one that Zerubbabel and Joshua had established. In a similar way, I think the third temple will be expanded. It'll still be the third temple. Now, that's my personal opinion, and I'm not too sure that we can exactly prove that, but I'm giving my opinion that it is the same third temple that God will purge and cleanse at the beginning of the millennium.
So you think it's the same temple?
Yes. That
not
is my opinion.
Not a different one?
No.
Okay. And some of these things, great scholars disagree on, don't they, Dr. Whitcomb?
Amen. We have different approaches to some of these things. Someday, God will sit us down and say, dear child, let's talk. Here's what I meant by what I said.
And Jesus will be teaching us during, when we'll talk about that, actually, we come back along with more of your questions. You might grab a pen and paper, get our email address, so you can get your question into us for Dr. John Whitcomb. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to join the Worldview Weekend Situation Room that is now over $8,000 in resources. If you were to buy all of the resources available at the retail price, it would total $8,000. But you have access to all $8,000 and growing in resources for only $59.95 a year. You can join for 1 year or multiple years. It's up to you. Check it out, won't you, at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. You'll get this radio broadcast, Worldview Weekend Radio, going back to the summer of 2007, over 1,400 radio shows. You also have access to the Worldview Weekend Radio program, second hour. the second hour of the Worldview Weekend radio program that is for Situation Room members only. A few times each month, I do a second hour of this broadcast that's for members only. You can also watch over 140 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs on demand. The DVDs are available inside the Situation Room long before they ever go on to a DVD format. You also have access to all my books in an ebook format that you can download as PDFs to add to your Kindle or to your Nook. Lots of value inside the Situation Room, including the audiobook of Grave Influence. Hope you'll check it out. SituationRoom.net makes a great gift for someone else as well. SituationRoom.net. By the way, one of the benefits to joining the Situation Room is not only having access to over $8,000 in resources and growing, but it's a big part of our general operating budget. We use a lot of bandwidth making this show available for free for 14 days. After that, it does roll into the Situation Room. And we do want to continue making it available for free for 14 days to anyone. But to do that, we've got to cover the massive amount of bandwidth we're using. And it costs us many thousands of dollars a year. Not only the bandwidth, but just producing this show costs a lot of money. The phone lines and all that goes with it. And one way we cover all that is through our general operating budget, and the Situation Room memberships are a big part of our general operating budget. So please help your family out by having access to great biblical worldview resources, but you're also helping us when you join the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. Full details and to join, you can do so at situationroom.net. Situationroom.net, where members understand the times through a biblical worldview. Religious Trojan Horse, the ebook documentary, is now available for purchase. Hardcover comes out the last week of September. It will be shipped to all of you who ordered it. But if you'd like to order the ebook documentary, you can download it right now online at worldviewweekend.com. Now, why are we calling it an ebook documentary? Because in addition to being an ebook, we also have embedded nearly 100 links to video clips. So when I talk about someone within the New Apostolic Reformation saying something heretical, you can actually see it and hear it for yourself. When I say Glenn Beck said, we need a Jesus or a Buddha, you can hear him and see him saying it. When he says something like, I am that I am, it's a title for God, never use it in vain, use it to create what you want to become, I am blank. By the way, that's nothing more than the law of attraction, a New Age teaching. You can actually see and hear him saying it. Where? Well, on his TV show, but also at his commencement address at Liberty University. So this is the benefit of the ebook documentary. In addition to that, we have links that are live for our footnotes. So when we say the Orange County Register reported this about Dr. Oz speaking at Rick Warren's church, you can click the footnote and go right to the article in the Orange County Register. It's amazing the 600 footnotes we have, many of them being active, right back to the sources we're citing. If you want to check it out, you can do so inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com. Worldviewweekend.com. Download your copy of the Religious Trojan Horse ebook documentary right now. We also have a special price where you can get the hardcover and the ebook. Check it out in the bookstore. You'll see there's a special price for the ebook and the hardcover. We can get both at a special price package together. All the details at worldviewweekend.com. Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio, our website, worldviewweekend.com. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest. And again, we want to invite you to go ahead and pre-register for our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies coming to many cities, Destin, Florida, this Sunday night. Then we're on to Wichita, Kansas, where many of you can join us that are listening up there in the Midwest, Central Midwest. And then we're on to Des Moines on that Saturday night and Minneapolis on that Sunday night. Last year, we were filled to capacity in Minneapolis, and our registrations numbers are far ahead of where they were last year at this point. So I think we're going to fill up again. So we're excited about that. But please do register online so we can make sure that we have enough chairs put out in the room set in the hotel ballroom accordingly, because we want everybody to get a seat, everybody to be comfortable. And I think we can always pull down another wall if we had to, push it back and bring in more, but it helps us if we know all of this in advance. It's not something we can do, you know, move those big, humongous ballroom walls in 30 seconds. It takes a lot of prep. So we try to set for exactly what we're expecting, and last year that took us all the way back to that wall. And so, again, if you want to attend, it is free, but we do need you to register so that we can plan accordingly. Again, all the details are at worldviewweekend.com/conferences, worldviewweekend.com/conferences. Then we're on the Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rogers, Arkansas, Peoria, Illinois, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is filling. Of course, it's the home base for our radio network, and we have a wonderful following there. And you can probably even hear the lift gate of the semi-truck that keeps dropping in the background. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but I just heard it as they're unloading religious Trojan horse ballots. But we have a wonderful turnout in Milwaukee, and then we're on to Rockford, Illinois. That's where we all finish it up. We also have our two-day training institute, October 26 and 27, October 26, 27, here in the Mid-South, outside of Memphis, Tennessee, in Collierville, Tennessee. It's a Friday, all-day Saturday I teach. When you're done, you'll get the three-ring binder, PowerPoint, leader's notes, student worksheets, everything you need to go back to your community and teach an in-depth biblical worldview course. And we have a special rate for husbands and wives. Husband and wife can attend for the same price, special price for young people. So a parent or parents want to bring a young person with them, we have a very discounted price for that as well. All the details for that are at worldviewweekend.com, and you just click the link for our training, one of the training tabs at the top of the page, and you'll see that. Scroll down the page. You're looking for the live training, not the one online, but the live one, October 26th and 27th. Dr. John Whitcomb is my guest. His website is whitcombministries.org. Before the break, Dr. Whitcomb, we talked about the fact that Jesus will be teaching us. When we finally get to glory, we will actually have Bible study, will we not?
I really think so. I think that we will be very cooperative with everything he says. Do you know why? Because we'll be glorified, sinless, and we'll agree exactly with what he says about us and about himself forever.
And we'll be learning, is that right?
Amen. Forever and ever, we'll keep not growing in knowledge. We'll never be omniscient, but we'll keep growing as he teaches us in his mercy.
So what we learn, we'll probably be able to recall it?
I say, Lord, help me to submit to your truth and help me to be cleansed day by day, purged and purified by your word, because someday I'll understand in a way I've never done before what you really meant and what you said in this precious book, the Bible.
All right, here's another question from a listener. By the way, if you want to get your question in to us for our next program, about every 2 weeks, Dr. Whitcomb joins us for Ask Dr. John, and all you have to do is email us, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. We'll add it to the list of questions, info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. That catches our attention, and we forward it on right away. So ask Dr. John in the subject line, please, when you email us, info@worldviewweekend.com. All right, next question. How is it possible that Israel could sign a peace treaty during the tribulation when Bible prophecy clearly states that within 3 years the peace treaty will no longer be honored? Are the people during this period not aware of Bible prophecy?
That is so sad, because Israel, at the beginning of the tribulation, will not have one born-again believer. Really? The only believers will be Elijah and Moses, who come back to the world to teach Israel, to win them to the Savior. So at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, what is going to happen? Jesus said in John 5, I have come in my Father's name, and you receive me not, but one is coming in his own name, and him you will receive. They're desperate. Today they're desperate. For what? Security. Recognition. And I say, Lord, I'm watching carefully. Something big is about to happen in Israel. They will become so desperate. As you know, they're beginning to realize America is not backing them. They're going to have to defend themselves. They're willing and ready to have to sign on with somebody. And who is this? Daniel chapter 9 says that prince that's going to come, the Antichrist, will make a firm covenant with many, the majority of Israelis, for 1 week, Shavuot, 7-year period. In the midst of that week, he'll break his treaty. Well, don't the people of Israel today believe what Daniel said? Well, wait a minute, dear listener. Listen carefully. Israel today does not really believe their Old Testament. That's what Jesus pled with them over and over in his first coming. Don't you know, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the things concerning me that must be fulfilled? They didn't believe those things. They rejected him and crucified him. And I say, Lord, I can't imagine the spiritual darkness of people who claim to be God's people. I'm talking about national Israel, and yet need the Lord. How are they going to ever be saved? Jesus explained it, do you remember? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, he said, Elijah will come and do what? Restore all things. That's the way that Malachi 4 ends in the Old Testament. He will come and change, bring the hearts of fathers to children, children to fathers. And I say, Lord, how desperately Israel today needs the Savior, needs the gospel, and they'll have it. by the end of the first half of the 70th week of Daniel, the nation basically will have been saved. But not at the beginning. At the beginning, they desperately need the light of God.
All right, next question. Ask Dr. John to explain who the saints are in Revelation 5:8 and Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 through 5, along with the golden censer. Is that how you say that, I guess?
This is fascinating. We are obviously in the middle, but at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. The church age has ended. As you know, it was ended at the end of chapter 3. Chapters 4 to 19, not once is the church, the true church, mentioned on earth. Then I say, well, who are these people in heaven then? That's the question. Four living creatures, 24 elders, may include representatives of the church, fall down before the Lamb with bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The same thing is said in Revelation chapter 8. It talks about the golden censer and the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Now, my opinion is the focus mainly is on saints of the tribulation period, especially those who have been martyred for their faith. Millions of believers will die because they refuse to take the mark of the beast at the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. So I say, Lord, whoever is included there, they're doing the right thing. They're praying to God in the name of Jesus by the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, and that is the greatest thing we can do today on this earth. Here's the 7-point formula, friends, for ultimate victory. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Lord, thank you. And I say, help me to take advantage of this marvelous privilege. Wherever saints have lived in the past, present, or even in the tribulation that's coming, help us to be prayer warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from him, we can do what? Nothing. Thank you, God.
All right, now here's a question of mine. We have talked this week about the wrath of God on our programs. We have talked about God judging nations. We've talked about Romans 1, God giving nations over or giving the people over in Romans 1. Then there's the talk of the day of the Lord, which is really, wow, talk about the wrath of God. But that brings up the question of, well, what kind of wrath are we talking here? Is there a distinction to be made between national judgment and the wrath of God that involves the whole earth, as we see at the day of the Lord, at the beginning of the tribulation? First of all, how would you define God's wrath, number one? Let's start with that. How would you define God's wrath?
Well, first of all, that is something that is happening today. We all know John 3:16, don't we? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? Should not perish, but have eternal life. But look at verse 36, the last verse of John 3. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Oh, thank you, God, for that precious gift of eternal life. But, here it is, he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, that's true today, friends. We have a choice. The love of God, based on the merits of Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf, or suffer his wrath, which means eternal destruction in hell. Now, in the Great Tribulation, there's an intensification, and here's the difference. In the coming tribulation that the church is exempted from, you remember 1 Thessalonians 5, we're not appointed under wrath, that is, the wrath of the tribulation is coming, in which the whole world will visibly experience the wrath of God with judgments that are staggering in their magnitude. We've talked about catastrophes in recent decades, haven't we? Tsunamis, earthquakes, explosions, eruptions of volcanoes. That is absolutely nothing compared to what's coming during the 70th and last week of Daniel preceding the second coming of Christ. The wrath of God, dear friends, takes different forms, sometimes visible, sometimes invisible, sometimes in his providence, sometimes miraculously. I think it's a difference of intensity of the wrath of God that will be visible to the whole world in the 7 years preceding the coming of Christ in glory.
So, just okay, summing up here, the wrath at the day of the Lord is a totally different kind of wrath than what's being revealed today.
Right. It'll be visible. It'll be experienced by every human being on the earth, not after you die, but on the earth, visible. While you will see the hand of God in judgment like as never. I mean, Jesus said so. There's a tribulation coming such as never was, no, nor ever shall be. That's the difference.
Hmm. And the way that we should respond then when we see tornadoes or earthquakes or hurricanes is not to always say, well, that is ultimately, therefore, the wrath of God. That's not the case every time we see a natural disaster.
No, I don't believe so. It can't compare with what's coming. That's
the difference. But God can use different things to occur or allow certain things to occur because of sin. In other words, I guess there's one is God's judgment by allowing the impact of sin. One is God's judgment because of the consequences of sin that he allows to happen. Sometimes maybe he stops things we don't know about. But one is judgment by the consequences of sin, giving a nation over. Another one is actually divine appointed wrath, such as the day of the Lord, which falls into a totally different category.
Right, absolutely. That's the difference. That is the difference. And I say, right. Lord, please, please don't give us what we deserve. Your visible wrath upon us for what we've done to you and your precious word.
Hmm. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest. We come back, we'll take a few more of these questions that you guys have sent in. Excellent questions. I just love the fact that you guys are so interested in truth, biblical truth, because that's what truth is, right? Thy word is truth. That's what we read in the scriptures. So truth is that which is consistent with the character and nature of God, that which is true. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we have a standard by which we gauge truth, don't we? And you guys are interested in biblical truth. And I love the fact that you guys email in so many questions. It's a wonderful, wonderful audience we have. And it's such a privilege to host this program and to minister to you in this way and to bring people like Dr. John Whitcomb to the microphone. So we'll continue this when we come back. After hearing me talk about it for 2.5 to 3 years, it's finally here. You can now order Religious Trojan Horse, my latest book. The subtitle is How False Teaching from Neo-Evangelicals, the New Religious Right, and the Spiritual Left Have Invaded the Church to Establish a Coming Religious World Government. It's hardcover. It's 6x9, and it includes over 500 footnotes. It's about 137,000 words. You're going to get your money's worth with this book. In Religious Trojan Horse, I expose the outrageous breach of integrity in the church, compromised by popular and dangerous teachings that are anything but scriptural. With thorough and precise documentation of every claim, I show you exactly who's to blame and how. In this book, you'll discover how the philosophy and eschatology of false religions have infiltrated evangelicalism. The saboteurs who have convinced 21st century evangelicals to embrace and promote heresies of the social gospel, dominion theology, ecumenicalism, mysticism, social justice, and communitarianism. The real and present danger that a false church has brought soft persecution to biblically committed Christians, with worse yet to follow. The potential for an apostate church to become the catalyst for the coming New World Order. How the harlot church of Revelation 17 will do the bidding of a one-world leader. The threat that mainstreaming a blend of signs and wonders with mystical Christianity has already conditioned unaware sheeple to accept a one-world leader. That the pro-family industry and its culture war have been an easy mark for infiltration by enemies of the gospel. How Rick Warren, Tony Blair, Joel Osteen, C. Peter Wagner, Glenn Beck, Mikhail Gorbachev, the Rockefellers, Mike Bickle, Rick Joyner, Peter Drucker, Jim Wallis, Tony Campolo, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, and others have assisted in building the Religious Trojan Horse. I'll explain to you how the world's religions are converging through a syncretism now supported by evangelicals. My revelations will shock you at first. Then you'll likely be tempted to despair. And make no mistake, the situation is grim. Yet, I will offer you hope simply by opening your eyes to what is happening and what can still be done. I'll chart a path on which we can return to truly biblical teaching, preaching, and raising our children. To secure your copy of Religious Trojan Horse, you can visit our website, worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. You can now order the Branson 2012 Worldview Weekend DVDs. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we filmed all of the keynote presentations in Branson, Missouri this past April 2012 with multiple cameras, including a swinging boom camera. What that really means is this is quality broadcast production. You can order any of the DVDs individually, or you can order all 8 DVDs, a total of 16 presentations, and a bundled special discounted price. You can order them now inside our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com. Again, you just go to worldviewweekend.com and look for the link for our bookstore, and you can order them there individually or order all 8 DVDs at a discounted package price at worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. If you'd like to have your question answered by Dr. John Whitcomb, you can call in just a few minutes. Or some of you who don't like to call in to talk radio, makes you nervous, that's fine, we understand. We give you the alternative of sending in your question by email. When you email us, info@worldviewweekend.com. Info@worldviewweekend, just spell it all together as one word, info@worldviewweekend.com. And please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. We'll add it to the list of questions. Let's see here now. Dr. Whitcomb, churches in my area canceled church services or changed their times for a ball game. It seems like this is happening more and more and not just for ball games. This really bothers me. Am I being too picky?
Excuse me. We have to be careful with this. Some churches, for the sake of outreach and ministry, will go to a ball game or some other social community event to reach people for the Lord. Excuse me again. But if we just get in the habit of canceling church services for entertainment, that's the difference. It's the motive. What are we doing this for? Are we trying to reach people? Or are we trying to honor the Lord and His command to meet together regularly to serve Him and to worship Him? I think we need, my opinion to be, it's very, very unwise, inappropriate, in fact spiritually dangerous, to get in the habit of canceling church services in order to participate in community events. I think that would be unwise, not a good testimony, but we have to be careful there are exceptions even in that situation, as each case may provide.
Mm. You got some water there, Dr. John?
I think I'll probably recover here.
Okay. Let's see. So next question. Proverbs 26:24-26. What are the 7 abominations in his heart?
That's a hard one. Proverbs 26, beginning with verse 24. Listen carefully. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him. Now, we're talking about an evil man who's going around deceiving people. Now, listen carefully. For there are 7 abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. What are the 7 abominations? It doesn't say. But frequently in the Old Testament and the New, numbers like that symbolize what? Completeness. It's symbolic of what? The worst possible situation you can face. 7 is often in the Bible a symbol for what? Something divine or perfect. And so he has a perfect fullness of abominations in his heart. That, I say, is a difficult verse to handle, but that would be my understanding of what is meant in the context of that passage in Proverbs 26. Watch out what you're doing with your heart. The heart is deceitful, Jeremiah said, above all things, and what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I say, Lord, examine my heart and see if there's any abominations in there that you alone can cleanse and purge away.
All right, number 8. Recently I was talking to a friend of mine who's Pentecostal. We got on the subject of the Trinity and what we believe is not the same. He said his church teaches that there is one God but 3 different manifestations. They do not believe in 3-in-1. When I started to quote scripture where God is spoken of in a plural form, i.e. Genesis 1:26, he told me those passages are not translated correctly. I do not speak Hebrew, but I find it hard to believe that is true. This is the question from a listener, Dr. John.
Now, Pentecostals don't all believe that.
Thank you for clarifying.
I've been told, a group of Pentecostals who are the Jesus-only group. You say, what in the world is that? They believe there's only one person who's God, and that's Jesus. Now, of course, over and over again, the New Testament says that's not true. There are three persons, equal in glory, distinct in function. I mean, Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. In what? In administration. Yes, but not in his deity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You say, where does it say that? Just don't take time to write this down. Just listen. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13, 14. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Revelation 1, 4 to 6. And especially the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus. Baptizing them, he said, here's the mark of a Christian. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, the triunity of the Godhead, over and over emphasized in the New Testament. And what about Genesis 1:16? God made them in his, he said, let us make them in our image, in our likeness. Now, some may say that's a plural of majesty, but it could be what? An anticipation of the triunity of God. There are hints of that in Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 42:1, Isaiah 48:16, more than one person who's God, even in the Old Testament. Not as clearly understood, of course, then, as we know it now. So how a person can possibly claim to be a Christian and say there's only one person in the Godhead when the New Testament over and over again makes that absolutely crystal clear and enforces it repeatedly?
All right, number nine. Is there anything in the Scripture that would point to a Muslim being the Antichrist? Now, this one is a one that, you know, people, again, disagree on. Dr. DeYoung would have his opinion, while A. Shabbat would have his opinion. The main thing is we're united on the essentials, but there are going to be people on both sides of this one. So let's get Dr. Whitcomb's thoughts on this one. Doctor?
Now, of course, we know that the Antichrist, according to Daniel 7, will be an absolutely eloquent, brilliant blasphemer. He has a mouth speaking great things, eyes like, I mean, he's incomparably brilliant. I cannot imagine, now this is just imagination, pardon me, that Israel today, would make a covenant with a Muslim to be their king. Well, what's the biblical evidence? Well, listen to what Daniel said in chapter 11 about the Antichrist. He will not honor the God of his fathers. Something bad. Well, it's for a Muslim, it's, biblically speaking, it's good for him to deny the God of his fathers. But this one will be a blasphemous, apostate Jew. That's my opinion. I can't imagine a Muslim being accepted by Israel today as their leader. That's my concern. Now, we have to be careful. This Antichrist, with whom they'll make their firm covenant for 7 years, will be a Western-oriented person, multilingual, like Israeli leaders today. Benjamin Netanyahu, for example, very brilliant and multilingual, cosmopolitan, Western-oriented thinker. And I say, I can see that that is what Israel is going to do. They desperately need security and leadership, and God will give them what they want. It'll be bad news, the Antichrist.
And I also can't see the Muslims worshiping a man who sets himself up in the temple to be as God. The Muslims aren't going to follow a guy like that, are they? Because after all, they say that, there's but one true God, Allah. So are the Muslims going to join in on this one world religion that revolves around a man who set himself up as God when they all teach there's one, only one God? There's only one man or one God, that's Allah. And they would never teach that Allah would take on the form of a man. That would be blasphemous to a Muslim. So if there's the one world religious system is Islam, and the one world leader of the one world religious system is the Antichrist, who eventually makes himself the center of that religion by being worshipped as God, I can't see how that would not go against Islam's belief that there is what one God, Allah.
Well, of course, we know that in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation that's coming, there'll be an apostate church, quote unquote, all over the world, that will be used, manipulated by the Antichrist. At the middle of the 70th week, Revelation 17, Antichrist and his whole political power system will destroy this false system. which I think will include Islam, all apostate so-called Christian groups and other religions that he will use for his purposes for the first 3.5 years, and then he'll destroy them. Mm. So at the end of that period, what's going to happen? The Antichrist will demand everybody worship him and him alone, and billions will die. And I say, Lord, I just can't imagine anything more awful. He'll say, you take the mark on your forehead and right hand, or you'll die. And I say, Lord, I can't even imagine this. So religion, the first 3.5 years of all the different religions, yes. The last 3.5 years, Antichrist under Satan says, you worship me and my image alone.
All right, folks, we're going to open up the phone lines now. We got one more question for Dr. Whitcomb on our end, but while we are doing that, we're going to give you a chance to get on the phone line with Dr. Whitcomb live, if that's what you prefer to do. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829 is the number, and you can get on board with your comment or question. Again, if you prefer to email in your question for next program about 2 weeks from now, Lord willing, you just send that to us. You send it to us at info@worldviewweekend.com. Bob, you just sent in an email to us for the next program. Thank you for doing that, Bob. We'll forward that on to Dr. Whitcomb even right now. And he just simply emailed us, info@worldviewweekend.com, and put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. Easy enough. So his question is already the first one in the hopper for 2 weeks from now. Again, if that's the way you prefer to do it, then send it on an email, info@worldviewweekend.com, anytime between now and the next program. Otherwise, phone lines are open, 1-800-347-9829. All right, Dr. Whitcomb, last question. We'll go to break, come back, take callers. Our son is engaged to a girl who isn't born again, says this person, and we feel quite unsettled about this. Are we to get any guidance from Samson marrying a Philistine? That it was of the Lord, Judges 14:3-4.
That is a hard one. Let me read you what it says. Judges, of course, ends by saying, in those days men, you know, had no king. They did what they wanted. But here's what happened. Samson's parents said to him, there is no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all the people that you could take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines. He got himself into trouble wanting to marry a Philistine. Philistine women were his undoing, as you know, throughout his life. But Samson said to his father, now listen to this, get her for me, for she looks good to me. In other words, I'm telling you what you're to do. However, his father and mother did not know, and here's the problem, his father and his mother did not know that it was of the Lord. For he was seeking an occasion, that is, God was seeking for an occasion against the Philistines, because the Philistines were ruling over Israel. You say God would lead him to do that, something that was dangerous, unspiritual? Now, let me tell you this, friend. Joseph said this of his own brothers who were going to murder him, sold him as a slave into Egypt. He said, you meant it for evil, but God did what? Meant it for good. Now, here's the point. What they did was evil, but God, now careful here, in his providence, uses evil persons doing evil things to accomplish his long-term providential purposes for the world and for his people. You say, really? Let me give you the big one, the book of Job. God used Satan, mind you, to put Job to the test for months. To do what? To prove that God was sufficient for that man under stress that we can't even imagine. God won the victory on that one, didn't he? And you don't
Yes.
find Satan at the end of the book of Job saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. God uses Satan, demons, evil men to accomplish in a mysterious purpose his long-range goal to the world. Without approving, of course, what they do, he is not being outmaneuvered by Satan or evil people ever.
We come back from the break. We're going to go right to your calls. Don't go away. More of Ask Dr. John yet to come. I want to invite you to join us for the Biblical Worldview Weekend Training Institute right here in Memphis, Tennessee, October 26 and 27. We do offer this training institute online, but many of you have said you want us to continue offering it once a year so you can attend in person. All the details are at worldviewweekend.com. Click on the link for conferences and find out about our next Biblical Worldview Weekend Training Institute, October 26 and 27, right here in Memphis, Tennessee. We have a rate where a husband and wife can attend together for the price of one, and we have a special rate where you can bring your teenagers with you at a reduced price. When you're done with the Training Institute, I will give you the three-ring binder that you can take home with you that will include leader's notes, student worksheets, PowerPoint, and video clips so you can begin to teach a biblical worldview course in your community. We desperately need biblical worldview weekend instructors who will teach people the importance of biblical doctrine to defend the essential Christian doctrines. So I hope you will consider attending right now our annual Biblical Worldview Weekend Training Institute, the next one being October 26th and 27th in Memphis, Tennessee. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. That's worldviewweekend.com. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure would appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the Internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it. And one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation in underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the program. And as soon as we get off the program today, I get my little black Sharpie out and start signing those of you who wanted the book signed, and because there's 9 pallets that have just been delivered by semi of the hardcover Religious Trojan Horse, 488 pages. So I'm going to have writer's cramp by the end of the week, but I'm going to sit and endeavor late into the night to sign those books to you who have patiently been waiting. And again, I just want to say thank you for being so supportive of our organization and ministry, what God has called us to, this resource that I've labored on for over 3 years, prayed about, labored, sweated, edited, re-edited, edited again, loaded up with tons and tons of scripture, because that's really is what convicts those who contradict, is scripture. It is scripture that is the brings discernment for us, reveals the will of God for our lives. It's the plumb line. It's the foundation. And so there is so much scripture in this book. And it is a book that I've not worked on any of the other books I've written, the other 9, to the degree that I have this one. And I hope that it is a blessing to you. But again, I really want to thank you for ordering the book in advance, those of you who did that. I can't tell you what a blessing that is to us, to help us know how many to print and get ready to print. It really is a blessing to us. And so thank you for those of you who pre-ordered the book. We appreciate any of you ordering it now, even if it's out. But it's a real, real support to us, and it really helps us a great deal when you pre-order the book, as so many of you did, and have so patiently waited for it to come out. It has been delivered. It literally is sitting on 9 pallets, and my 16-year-old will be very busy this afternoon moving these boxes around. And he was moving other boxes around on the weekend to make room for these. And he said, I don't have to work out at the gym. All I got to do is come in here and start moving boxes around for you. So I said, I'm glad you feel that way, because he'll be doing a lot of this on Tuesday. All right. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest for Ask Dr. John. And let's see now. We have people on the line. Let's go to Brad, line 1. Brad, thanks for calling in.
Hi. I wanted to, first of all, Dr. John, you hit the nail on the head with regard to how God uses things. He can use the devil, he can use anything. And the devil is very intelligent, but compared to the biblical God, he's nothing.
Right, amen. Oh. Praise God.
About the Islam thing, I with regard to the Antichrist, I believe Islam is the prime mover in the world at the time, but I do not think the Antichrist will be a Muslim any more than I think Jesus Christ will be a Christian. the devil is the Antichrist. The Bible calls the devil the prince of this world. The Quran calls Allah the prince of this world. I see that as agreement, and the devil is and Allah are one and the same. As far as Israel not agreeing with Muslims, they've got a long history of agreeing with Muslims. Look at the Oslo Accords. They've had a lot of agreements that the Muslims have broken. So it wouldn't be a new thing to have an agreement with Muslims.
Okay, I have done a careful chapter on the identity and functions of the Antichrist in our newest book just published 2 weeks ago called The Rapture and Beyond, available on Amazon.com. And I say, Lord, this is very complex. He has all kinds of different names and titles and functions. He's an amazingly complex figure. How he relates to Islam is beyond my comprehension at this time. I'm open to help. But I say, Lord, we have the spirit of Antichrist, as John makes clear, of course, in his epistles. Even today, there are all kinds of Antichrists, aren't there, who speak against the Lord, deny his word, undermine the faith of God's people, so that the principle, the Antichrist system under Satan is here today, I think will be manifested in a special way in those days just ahead of us called the Great Tribulation. But one thing is sure, he will not win at the end. Jesus wins. I've read the end of the Bible. Jesus wins.
Amen to that. All right, let's go to our next caller. Again, the phone lines always light up with Dr. John. Let's go to Lynn. Lynn, line two, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, gentlemen. My question for you, Dr. John, I was meeting with a gentleman, and we were talking about evangelism and specifically open-air preaching. He said he wouldn't do open-air preaching because he was concerned that it would hurt someone's spiritual readiness. And he was saying that people basically have a spiritual readiness scale of, let's say, 0 to 10, you know, 1 being that they are nowhere near God, 10 being that they're ready to make a decision for Christ, repent, and put their faith in him. And that our goal in evangelism should be wherever we find that person, if they're at a 3, we want to leave them at a 3 or higher. Is there a biblical case to be made for that, or even traditionally or historically, or is that a man-made doctrine, I guess?
I'm very sorry. I missed some key points you were making there about evangelism. Of course, we do know, don't we, that there are all kinds of ways that we can be effectively used of God for men, women, and children around us, loved ones, neighbors, friends, even people to the ends of the earth, as we are light reflectors for the Lord Jesus into the deepening darkness everywhere around us. What is evangelism? Reaching out with people concerning the gospel. Now, that was what happened to me as a godless evolutionist at Princeton University in 1942 and 43. I was there to study, you know, how the world evolved by chance through billions of years, godless chance, and somebody came to me and invited me to a Bible class. I rejected the invitation. He said, I'm going to do something special for you. He prayed for me. He came back again and again. Finally, I submitted. I said, in effect, I want to get him off my back. I heard a marvelous Bible teacher who won me to the Savior, not by arguing about evolution, mind you. We'd still be arguing. He hit me with the gospel head on in my dorm room, told me who Jesus was, that he died for my sins, rose from the dead. I believed. All things passed away from me. All things became new. I thank God somebody knew how to reach people, students, evolutionists, godless people, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
Amen to that. Larry from South Dakota, go right ahead. We'll try to get you in here. Larry, go right ahead.
Well, I was wondering about Daniel 12:7. It talks about the end of the time, a time, two times, and a half time. And I was wondering if you had some discernment what that meant.
All right, Dr. John, we've got about 30 seconds.
Yes, time times and half a time would be 3.5 years. That's, of course, the 13th. That's the first half of the 70th week of Daniel, 1,260 days, 42 months, time, 1 year, times, 2 year, half a time. This, over and over, the Bible says, watch that time period that's coming right after the rapture of the church for 3.5 years of evangelism for Israel, followed by 3.5 under the Antichrist.
Dr. John Whitcomb, thanks again for your ministry to our audience worldwide. We really appreciate
Lord, it's a joy to have a share. God bless you folks.
Thank you, Dr. John. His website, WhitcombMinistries.org, Whitcomb, ministries.org. It's also sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb and on Facebook. We'll post this show tonight. Take care, folks.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Hello, I'm Brannon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure would appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the Internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it. And one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation in underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Thank you.